broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio with some of the most hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use talk radio you'll ever hear. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for March the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Last hour, we talked about Donald Trump and how he's really involved in reelecting or reappointing or whatever you want to call it, the swamp. It's out of control. Were school kids coerced into gun control rallies? The answer is yes. They call them field trips, and you got to go, son. You got to go, ma'am. And more evidence coming out about that across government schools, backed by teachers' unions and George Soros and many other interesting secret dollars. If you follow the money trail, you get to the bottom line. We talked about U.S. Senate candidate Nick Freitas dismantles the left in defense of the Second Amendment. We talked about Ben Swan's reality check, mass shootings and psychiatric drugs. And we talk about Corey, I don't know how to say his name here. Anyway, Bamgard or whatever. Why I took a gun to school, a literal witness who was on these psychotropic drugs. Him and his family say they're horrible. They stopped him. He didn't kill anybody, but he didn't know even why he went to a government school and then ended up in a detention center. This is the stuff that happens. Last hour nails it. This hour, though, Kurt did a little bit of research on Nick Freitas. An update from Kurt. Kurt?
Yeah, it was interesting to see Nick has a couple of pretty good endorsements.
Amen.
Sam.
Yes, sir.
You know, you got Rand Paul of Kentucky and Mr. Let's see, what's his name?
Mike Lee,
senator. Yeah, that's right, Mike Lee from Utah. Pretty. I was just surprised. Number one, I was surprised when I never even heard of the guy that you brought him up. And all that really does is prove how the media chooses to point out and bring forward
Amen.
The ones they want to bring
But
forward.
Donald Trump isn't endorsing him yet, as far as I can tell. Now, Donald Trump is backing Larry Kudlow, and turns out Larry Kudlow cut his teeth in government working for the Federal Reserve Bank and then worked the division of the Fed. This guy's a big old Fed guy, Kurt.
Yeah, and
he's kind of bounced back and forth between these banks and government and the media and everything else,
I guess,
right?
even according to Wikipedia, he was fired from Bear Stearns back in the mid-90s due to his cocaine addiction.
So, oh, yeah, I guess he didn't want to abolish the Federal Reserve. He was just using fake fiat money to buy coke, right?
I guess so, Sam. All right. That's just pretty,
Well, our prayers are with him that he can recover. Yeah. We're not here to attack the guy. I hope that he can repent and change, and I hope he's off drugs, and I hope his life goes well. But this isn't a guy that I'd put in, chief top brass at the administration, a guy that's worked for the Federal Reserve and the banking cartel and then literally in government and then media.
Well, he's probably not
going
to restore honest money.
That's the point, yeah.
All
right, anyway, enough of that. All right, there's a Gun Owners of America update Kurt's got as well relating to this gun hour. We just didn't have enough time in the hour. There are so many incredible sound bites and stuff, Kurt. Can you believe that Corey story? Did you know anything back in 2001 when it happened, in 2004 when he went before the Federal Drug Administration, the FDA, Kurt, and testified? I mean, did we even know about this story? I don't remember it.
I never heard it. No.
Imagine a story like that happening in America. You and I are news hounds for the last 25 years. Happened literally 14 years ago. To 17 years ago, depending on if you want to talk about the act or the testimony in the FDA. And I don't even know about it, Kurt.
And
what's going on around here, man?
I mean, you know how people say, well, hey, if you're a Mormon guy, then you pretty much know everybody else that is one. Didn't his dad say he was a Mormon kid?
Yes, sir, he is.
That he,
16 million member church, though. I don't see how you know everybody,
yeah,
Kurt.
But that's kind of what you get told, Like you and I are just pals with Mitt Romney just because we're from the same church.
Wow.
I mean,
how can I talk him out of running if I'm such his pal?
Yeah, good point.
But anyway, all I'm telling you is I bring this up because Gun Owners of America is in the news, and we got to really highlight this point that they make, Kurt.
Yeah, it's a Breitbart piece, and A.W.R. Hawkins is the author. It says, Gun Owners of America, quote, no guns allowed, end quote, signs less effective than teachers that shoot back.
Boy, anyway, how is that true, Kurt? And that's the point is that the signs don't create the great equalizer that guns do in the hands of good guys. That's the thing people need to understand, and that's a point Nick Freitas made, that, look, guns in the hands of good guys is the great equalizer. Take a woman or somebody younger or somebody smaller or whatever, and instantly when they have a gun, hey, pretty soon it's equal. As long as it's a good guy with a gun, it's okay. And how many times are those good guys using guns to create a rape-me-not or a murder-me-not? He even made the point. He didn't talk about the guns being nicknamed that for understanding purposes, but he did highlight the exact points that I point out, Kurt, often.
Good point. And this is, by the way, Eric Pratt. That's Larry Pratt's son, as I understand.
He's executive director
Larry Pratt, who appears with us monthly here, brings us this insider information, of course. But they had, Eric Pratt was stressing this, and part of his story talks about. He said Utah has been arming teachers since 1995, and when I say arming teachers, I mean concealed carry holders are allowed to bring guns into school rather than being told, no, you can't have them here. And so there's never been a school shooting in Utah, and Ohio is training teachers. It's actually a private organization that's training the teachers. There are, depending on the laws and how you look at them, anywhere from 12 to 25 states that already, to some degree, are allowing teachers to be armed in schools.
And I support arming certain people in schools, Kurt. I don't support bringing in a military or a cop presence necessarily. No. But I really think we got to get rid of gun-free zones laws.
Yeah.
Secondly, what we got to do is create constitutional carry across the country. That means open or hidden carry. Doesn't matter. You constitutionally have a right to carry a great equalizer.
Yep.
And I would start with those two things, and then I would turn people to God for religious solutions.
Good
and
point.
A tether to thou shalt not kill, if you will. I would surround people by loving family and friends so that people don't feel isolated and alone. And I would really look into this drug, this psychotropic drug problem that is so highlighted in our last hour, Kurt. What do you think of all that for solutions? And you know what? 90% of what I just mentioned aren't even being discussed, even by our friends in the media, Kurt, and aren't being discussed even by the good guys. I mean, when was the last time Mike Lee stood up and said, hey, it's about God, family, and country? We got to look into this drug trade as part of the problem of these shooters, and I defend the Second Amendment, and we got to have constitutional carry. See, is Mike Lee making the points that I'm clearly making, Kurt? Is anybody doing this like I am?
Well, just like I didn't know about Freitas, maybe is, and we just don't know about it.
Well, you're right. That's a possibility. And if that's the case, how do we connect the dots to make sure we help them, that we support them, that we do know, that we make a difference? For example, the story about Corey that we talked about last hour. There's no way I could help back in 2001 and 2004, Kurt, because I didn't even know about it. Your point is spot on, and that's what I'm trying to find out, a way to say, how can we help more? How can we be more in the know? How can we close the loop and communicate in partnership and make a difference? If these people are making the points, I don't know. And if they are, I want to know and help. And if they don't know, how do I help them know? How do I help them know about what I'm proposing, Kurt? How do we close this loop?
And like Eric Pratt mentioned, or at least in this story from Breitbart, he says, we protect our president, congressmen, and banks with guns. Why is it that we protect our schools with just a sign that says, no guns allowed? That doesn't work.
Well, and why is
very good
why
point.
Is Bernie Sanders going in to speak about disarming the good guys surrounded by armed guards, Kurt? To make his point even further, he's spot on this. That's why Gun Owners is my favorite organization when it comes to a non-compromised gun lobby. GunOwners.org. I am a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. These are the solutions, ladies and gentlemen. Putting your money where your mouth is, getting involved, helping connect the dots, helping good guys communicate, bringing them to the round table. We can help Look, these are tremendous people doing a tremendous job. Ben Swan, Nick Freitas, this Corey guy that supposedly shot up everybody or was going to and got stopped. Look, this Corey guy's a good, innocent, religious boy, and he's like, I don't even know what happened to me. I didn't know that I did these things. The idea of doing something like that's abhorrent to me. He's a good kid. He's never been violent in his life. You insert these drugs into his life, and he kind of blacks out on his feet and goes crazy, then wakes up and doesn't have any idea why. He literally testifies before Congress about this or the Food and Drug Administration Committee or whatever, and we don't even hear that it happens. And then they run around and go, we got to have answers for gun control. We got to find a solution here. And I say they're looking under all the wrong rocks, Kurt. They're not even in the ballpark for solutions. Why disarm the good guys? Because that's their agenda. They can't make a tyrannical world government if they don't bring down America and disarm us. That's why. Oh, Sam, you're full of conspiracy theories. And my response is, oh, no. You drug companies hooking everybody on drugs and pretending that they don't create violent behavior is the biggest conspiracy here. You people that want to disarm the good guys and pretend that's the answer are involved in the conspiracy here. I want to promote God, family, and country. I want to promote the truth that'll set us free. I want to promote the proper role of guns in the hands of good guys as the great equalizer solution to stop the bad guys. I want to find out why the bad guys are going bad or why many times good guys might be ending up on psychotropic drugs and turned into bad guys by government-approved medication. And then I want to find ways to bring people back to God, family, and country and make America moral, thus making America great again. And they call me crazy.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Well, the GOP traditionally has been the folks that defend your right to keep and bear arms. And as Nick Freitas wisely pointed out, it was the Democrats that were pro-slavery, pro-Jim Crow, pro-all this other stuff. And then they want to run around and say we're a bunch of bigots, that we're a bunch of racists. Good luck with that if you study history and the truth. But anyway, I digress, except to say, hey, the Republicans got massive control of everything in government, Kurt. Literally. Almost everything. The House, the Senate, the White House, two-thirds of the governorships. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I don't know that they'll ever have more control than they have now. Right? Well, I think they're literally melting down. Is Congress caving to the anti-gun pressure is the question that Joel Skousen in World Affairs Brief asks this week. WorldAffairsBrief.com to learn more. Now, this is a critical issue, right? And I bring this all up because I believe Republicans are on the ropes, Kurt. I believe Republicans are in trouble. And there's been a few squeaker examples. Roy Moore was one. That other example, what is it, in Pennsylvania is another. To really say we've got some serious problems indeed, folks. Serious problems indeed in the Republican Party. They are not delivering on their promises to the point where they are starting to lose the trust of the American people. Well, Patrick J. Buchanan breaks this down the best I've ever seen to date, Kurt.
Yeah, good point, Sam. Before we get into it, one of the key things to remember, ladies and gentlemen, is, hey, if it were up to us, there would be no parties. We'd follow what the President George Washington recommended in his farewell address when he said he would avoid the spirit of party and that kind of thing. But, hey, we live in this world, and I guess we're going to have to do the best we can with it. But what you've got here, Pat Buchanan says, he gives us a little history update, and he's a senior citizen.
Before the history, you might want to ask this question, Kurt, so people get it.
Well, he says it's November 6th, doomsday for GOP, Pat Buchanan. And then he goes through and he talks about, hey, the big victory that President Trump had and the GOP held Senate and House. And, you know, at least one of the things I wish he would point out is, hey, all the different flavors of Republicans that are in there. Because you certainly have the Rand Pauls and the Mike Lees, and then you have the, Republicans like,
Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell,
yeah,
and the inside swamp thugs.
Completely
kind of
opposite, guys.
Yeah, and they're more different than the Republican and Democrats are even, Kurt, to make the point.
Well, it seems like it to me. But anyway, he goes through and talks about different things, like you said, the Roy Moore situation. He doesn't really do it in depth, but in my opinion, that was the... insiders versus the outsiders there going on.
It was the quintessential reality check, wasn't it, Kurt?
Yeah. And then you have the deal with Pennsylvania here recently where, at least for the Republicans, they're checking to see what's going on. And yet when you look at it, the standard winning politician has realized these days that if they can be both parties or make as many people as happy as possible, then they can get more votes. And that's what this guy there in Pennsylvania has done, I think. Pat Buchanan says there is, however, troubling news from Pennsylvania for Nancy Pelosi. It says, Lamb promised voters of deer hunter country he would not support San Francisco Nancy for speaker. Look for Democrats in districts Trump carried to begin talking of the need for new leaders. Trump seems fated to be the primary target of attack this fall, Pat Buchanan says, and not only in districts Clinton carried, for an average of national polls shows that disapproval of his presidency is 14 points higher than his approval rating. And this is when the country or the economy is turning up good numbers not seen in this century. He says at the national level, Democrats will turn 2018 into a referendum on the Trump persona and Trump presidency. For while the Trump base is loyal and solid, the anti-Trump base is equally so and appreciably larger. He goes in and talks a little bit more about Hillary.
Now, this is
Hillary.
A worth it discussion, Kurt, because what he does is he really talks back about back in the day when the Republicans took a beating. And we had an incredible Democrat run, including the Great Depression era and the World War II era. And he goes on and kind of talks about history repeating itself. And he says things are a little bit different now because the economy's good. But that doesn't seem to be helping, Kurt.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly
so he nails
right.
that. But go into a little bit more. This is fascinating. And I think his question is a fair one. And I've been asking it in my own way many times recently. All right. Is November 6th doomsday for the GOP? Patrick J. Buchanan. Is Congress caving to the anti-gun pressure? Asks Joel Skousen at World Affairs Brief. I think these discussions, Kurt, go hand in hand. And I think the Republicans have literally failed us. And when we say Republicans, I'm talking about the insiders and the party and everything else. They have literally held guys like Nick Freitas, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, on the outskirts. They make fun
Ron
of Rand.
Paul, or, even they, yeah,
even Ron Paul I mean. Back in the day, yes.
Yeah.
Our kind of Republican is sidelined.
Yeah,
and
like
Patrick,
Scott Bradley,
yeah,
you know,
that's
so
right.
many
And they leave
others.
And go to a third party, and then people mock them and say third parties aren't viable, and third that's party guys are going, well, what do? The Republicans are betraying us at every turn. We don't do well there. We go in there, and they beat us up and turn off the lights and commit election fraud, and I mean, it goes on and on. What do? Where do we go? And Ammon Bundy asked this question perfectly. He said, what are we to do? We've tried everything.
Yep.
Now, I don't agree that we've tried everything because I believe the media taking center stage is one of the biggest solutions we really have.
Yep.
But Donald's got this fake news, fake media persona that brings out the right point but then doesn't go far enough for solutions. Okay, same thing with Ron Paul. He raises a ton of money for his election bid for president in 08 and 12. And then at the end of the day, $100 million plus dollars later, we don't have any media for the next round to show for it. We don't have any ability to change the game from the outside more than we ever did. In fact, we're losing ground, says Patrick Buchanan, doesn't he, Kurt?
Well, you know, he certainly says that there are problems. He talks about the five largest items in the budget, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Now let me stop you there. Let's talk about this. The top five expenditures in the budget, and I mentioned that not only do we got to be pro-life, that's got to be a big, huge point.
Right.
But then the top items in the budget, let's think about it. Every one of them smacks of massive socialism. Listen to this.
Yep, that's right. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, defense, interest on the debt are rising inexorably, he says, and there appears no disposition in either party to cut back on spending for education, college loans, food stamps, housing assistance, or infrastructure. He says, final sentence.
Now, see the housing assistance there. See, I think Ben Carson's trying to do the job. But he's just about to drown from the swamp, Kurt.
I agree.
Not to his fault, mind you. I'm not blaming Ben. I'm just telling you what's happening to the poor guy.
Yeah. He says if the Fed did not retain the power to control the money supply, then the fate of New Jersey and Illinois and beyond of Greece and Argentina would become our national destiny. That sounds kind of like he's for the Federal Reserve System, but... you know, anyway, the bottom line is...
Well, I reject the Federal Reserve System, and I would assert that we need to return to constitutional currency, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, honest money. I mean, imagine that. But anyway, you know, Pat Buchanan's saying that, hey, they certainly could go down to defeat, but the bottom line is, at least for me, is how many different flavors of Republicans are there, huh?
Who knows? More than you can count's the problem. But if you can't even define what a Republican is, how do you join them and decide we stand for the same thing? And so the real question that Patrick Buchanan asks, I think, is a spot-on question. And I hate to say it, I don't consider Pat Buchanan a prophet, but his article might turn out to be prophetic. Is November 6th doomsday for the GOP? And my response is, what has the GOP done since they got massive control a couple of years ago? Since they took control of the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts, two-thirds of the governorships, and most state legislative bodies, what have they done for you that they've been promising for decades, huh?
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What, what are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Is November 6th doomsday for the GOP? An incredible article written by Patrick J. Buchanan we're talking about. I think it's a serious, serious question. Savvy Democrats are literally starting to exploit the non-action by the Republicans. And I want to know from anybody, I challenge anybody, my email address is libertyroundtable@gmail.com. I want to know, has the GOP done anything significant for you to say, you know what, electing those guys is the answer? I'm just telling you right now, we got to hold on to the Republicans because they have absolutely delivered. There's a couple of things I can think of, but most of them have been Donald's doing with a protest of the Republican insiders, right? I don't see the Republicans promoting pro-life much. Donald did. I don't see the Republicans really standing too much for tax reform. They're increasing the deficit big time. I'm grateful for the minimal tax breaks we've received. They're better than nothing, but they're a long way. They haven't abolished the education department that they've been promising for decades. They haven't rejected Obamacare like they promised they would do ever since it began, what, a decade ago or so. I don't really see that the Republicans have delivered on pro-life, on shutting down the education department, on spending less money. I don't really see a significant takeaway. Now, you could say, well, wait a minute, they got a Supreme Court justice, Sam, Mr. Gorsuch. And my response is fine. I agree. That's good. But we haven't seen if Gorsuch is going to deliver in the favor of conservatives yet or not. Have we? I don't know anybody that can point to a significant decision where it's like, hey, man, the court decided this and Gorsuch, whatever. And you would say, well, Sam, you got to give it a chance. They haven't even had their decisions. You got to wait till June for those. Great. I'm willing to wait. But you can't call it a win yet. You can call it a hope. And I agree. But you can't call it a win. Same thing with half of the thing Donald Trump has done. He's going to pull out of this by 2020. And he's going to do this by this date. And he's going to do that by whatever. A lot of the things that even Donald has promised to do, we haven't seen come to fruition yet either. And the question is, are these things really Donald's doing his best, or a lot of times are they designed to be after an election cycle or two or three or whatever? I'm convinced that Patrick J. Buchanan is right, Kurt, that the GOP's in trouble in November unless they find something solid, something significant to either pass, to lower taxes again, more so than they've done, to decrease regulation, to reduce the size and scope of government, to reduce spending, to create real reform, to stand for pro-life, to abolish some departments in government completely, like the education department. In other words, if they don't do something significant that's beyond debate that you can sink your teeth into, Kurt, they're going to lose. And they're going to lose because the American people just don't see it. Any comment on this, Kurt?
Well, I'll give them some suggestions, recommendations on what they ought to do. I'm not saying that they'll follow them. I would pretty much replace their so-called leaders with, people like Mike Lee and Rand Paul, and basically let them show the way of what needs to be done, including what you talked about, even the whole issue of life would be enough, in my opinion, if you could get all of them on board. But, you find that there's just so many flavors of Republicans.
Amen. Even if you got enough of them to create a solid trade group to stand together before the media and literally blow by blow take these issues on in a meaningful way, Kurt, you'd have something. We don't even have that I can see. Okay, if they were to literally repatriate a lot more of this money from overseas and bring cash in, that would make a huge difference. I mean, there's so many little things that could move the needle that it's amazing. Reducing spending would be huge, Kurt.
Yep. Now, Sam, I've got some real important news, though,
for you.
All right,
anything else from Patrick J. Buchanan's article?
No, I don't see
anything. All right, anyway, Patrick nails it, though. It's at WND.com and many other fine conservative news sites. And I'm just proud of Patrick J. Buchanan. But the question that Joel Skousen has is Congress caving to the anti-gun pressure. That's a big key. I'm telling you right now, if they don't stand strong on the right to keep and bear arms, again, nobody's going to look at the Republicans of having anything different or unique or being willing to stand up at all, Kurt.
Yep. But you got some big news, some important news for today, Sam.
I feel it coming.
That you really got to get. And the headline,
what is
Fashion
it, Gummy Bear
Notes.
Day or something? It's Gummy Bear Day, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to celebrate the creation of the Gummy Bear.
Fashion Notes. No, it is St. Patty's Day. Fashion Notes.
Wait, St. Patrick's Day is today?
Yes, it is. Melania Trump celebrates Ireland in emerald green leopard print dress. Now, Sam, I mean, we almost missed it.
Knew Donald was getting it done, buddy.
Well, yeah. The sub-headline, First Lady Melania Trump made a toast to Ireland and St. Patrick's wearing an emerald green leopard print shift dress as she and President Donald Trump greeted Ireland Prime Minister Leo Varadkar at the White House. Melania chose the vibrant and bold dress by Brandon Maxwell, is a young New York designer who also serves as Lady Gaga's stylist. Oh, boy. This is all to commemorate St. Patrick's Day ahead of the weekend holiday. So this dress features a silk blend leopard print jacquard in a rich shade of emerald green, adds a beautiful texture to a curve-hugging sheath-styled with a modern midi-length hem, just so you know, Sam. And it's available for a Well, a little. Well, $1,595. You can pick up one of those.
Well, Donald's got cash. No one ever questioned that he could buy fine twine linen for the First Lady, Kurt. So, you know.
That's right. Very good.
What are you doing for St. Patrick's Day, Kurt? Are you going to eat corned beef and cabbage, or what are you going to do?
You know, I haven't even. I know that I should be celebrating it, and I know I should do more about it, but I haven't done it. I will tell you another big news story for the day, though, Sam, that you really got to focus on. I mean, do you know what UMBC is?
No.
Yeah, I thought you were just uninformed, Sam.
I guess I am, sir.
But
I am quite uninformed when it comes to the issues of the day sometimes.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what UMBC is.
Well, I don't watch sports. UMBC. I don't watch mainstream TV. I'm not in the, quote, financial clique. So the,
I know. You're just out of touch. What's How that? Are you going to get along in society, Sam? UMBC happens to be the name of the, well, one of the 16 seeds in the NCAA tournament of, 64. Now, you remember it's
64.
March Madness. Now, yeah, remember March Madness?
Wait, that's what are you talking about? Are you talking about 1964?
No. It's the basketball tournament that they have at this time of year. And so there's 64 teams, and so out of those they choose four 16 seeds, and of course they choose four number one seeds. Well, this one number 16 seed has now beaten a number one seed for the first time in the NCAA tournament. This is a, record-breaking deal, Sam.
It's the upset of all upsets.
You should know about this. I mean, imagine being uninformed. Well, this team called UMBC, and they're basically out of Maryland.
Sounds like a media group, UMBC.
Yeah, it does. But they're in Maryland. They're called the Retrievers, if you didn't know about it. That's the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And they were the number 16 seeds playing
Hold on, is this basketball?
Yes.
So if they're called the Retrievers, are they top in the collegiate world of rebounding and such like that?
I don't know, Sam, but
Kurt, you got to find that out.
It says they did what 135 other 16th-seeded teams in men's NCAA tournament history couldn't do.
That's right.
And they made it look easy. They won 74-54 over the top-ranked
And they
Virginia
got cheerleaders,
Cavaliers.
And when they go for rebounds, they're like, retrieve, retrieve, right?
That's right.
Good. All right.
And the team that they beat, Sam, had a 31-2 record. I mean, it's just, it wasn't possible that they could beat him.
Yes, now, the it was. One reason, yes, it is. And the reason we bring it up is why, Kurt?
Well, one of the main reasons is, number one, to kind of make fun of the standard media world. And number two, to say that even if you feel like you're basically the underdog of the world, like you're a 16th seed and
yeah, because the Retrievers are dogs,
you,
folks.
Well, right? Yeah. But the chances are you could still win, Sam.
And it would be a delightful effort if we did win on some of the fronts of the moral battle that we find ourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. We live in perilous times, but the underdog can win. And this highlights that reality check, and at least it's a good news story about an underdog with an upset.
Yeah.
We like the good news pieces, too. That's noteworthy for sure. You'll probably find out the team's Christian or something. That's why they buried it or whatever.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, I do my best to collect some of the reality checks from Ben Swan, Truth in Media, because he does just such a phenomenal job. And I don't always collect every one of them that he does, but I do collect a lot of them. And on Saturdays and on some of the broadcasts, now that we have 6 days a week, we're going to be highlighting some of these incredible reports from other people. Not because I can't talk more on the radio. I can talk forever. But because I want to create more of the roundtable feel, and it kind of makes the point of more guests, if you will, by doing this. And I don't know if you know, but, you know, we've made a big deal out of this Russian tampering, right? We made a big deal saying, hey, the Russians are on Facebook and Twitter, and they're sending out their own ideas and their own viewpoints. They're influencing people, and they're advertising in these social media spheres, and they're literally messing with the elections. Of course, there's no election fraud or anything like that, but the Russians are guilty of tampering, and it's a problem. And everybody's doubling down on this lie, in my opinion. Well, we've asked the question, and Ben Swan asks the same question. What about United States tampering in the affairs of other nations when it comes to elections? And what about U.S. meddling? Well, Ben Swan documents that former USA CIA director says we meddle too. Details.
The Russians hacked our election. The Russians attacked our democratic process. You've heard these claims from the media and from politicians for what? Well over a year. And then the recent federal indictment of Russians accused of intervening in the 2016 election, that was the final bit of proof, right? Consider the fact that the Russian meddling indictment was just $100,000 in Facebook ads bought to swing the election. And compare it to the money spent and the lives put at stake when the U.S. meddles in foreign elections or outright overthrows governments all over the world. A former CIA director claims that our meddling is different because when we do it, it's for the good of the system. Is that really true? Let's give it a reality check you won't get anywhere else.
Reality Check with Ben Swan, powered by Dash Digital Cash.
Ex-CIA Director James Woolsey said it himself. Yes, the U.S. meddles in other countries' elections. But when we do it, it's for the right reasons. Listen.
Have we ever tried to meddle in other countries' elections?
Oh, probably. But it was for the good of the system in order to avoid the communists from taking over. For example, in Europe in 47, 48, 49, the Greeks and the Italians, we
CIA. We don't do that now, though. We don't mess around other people's elections, yeah?
Only for a very good cause.
Can you do that? Do a Vine video on a former CIA director.
Only for a very good cause in the interests of democracy.
Only for a very good cause, he says, because our government is ensuring foreign elections result in democracy. But doesn't democracy demand that people decide for themselves, even if they choose to have a communist government? And how well has U.S. meddling actually worked out? According to Carnegie Mellon University researcher Dov Levin, the United States has attempted to sway elections in other countries more than 80 times worldwide between 1946 and 2000. One example of that was our intervention in Serbia, Yugoslavia, in the 2000 election there. Milosevic was running for re-election, and we didn't want him to stay in power there due to his tendency, you know, to disrupt the Balkans and his human rights violations. So we intervened in various ways for the opposition candidate, and we gave funding to the opposition, and we gave them training and campaigning aid. So that was just one instance, but those 80-plus instances of the U.S. interfering with other nations' elections does not include regime change efforts. In the 1970s, in Chile, the CIA conducted a botched kidnapping of General René Schneider, the Chilean army's commander-in-chief. It resulted in Schneider's death. The plot was an effort to undermine the presidency of Salvador Allende, which may have fueled the violent coup that led to Allende's overthrow. In 1974, Henry Kissinger was quoted in Newsweek saying about Chile, quote, "I don't see why we have to let a country go communist due to the irresponsibility of its own people." Yeah, he said that. Levin's tally, by the way, does not include covert coup d'etats where our government overthrows a foreign leader like the U.S. did in Iran in 1953 or Guatemala in 1954. But remember, we only do it to spread democracy around the world for a very good cause, right? No, not so much. In fact, Salon magazine documents 35 nations in which the United States has overthrown legitimate governments and supported fascists, drug lords, or terrorists. Going back to 1953 Iran, it is one of the most stark examples of the U.S. overthrowing governments. The CIA and the U.K.'s MI6, they overthrew the popular elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh. The good and right reason? Because according to Salon, Iran had nationalized its oil industry by a unanimous vote of parliament, ending a BP monopoly that only paid Iran a 16% royalty on its oil. Quote, "For 2 years, Iran resisted a British naval blockade and international economic sanctions. After President Eisenhower took office in 1953, the CIA agreed to a British request to intervene. After the initial coup failed and the Shah and his family fled to Italy, the CIA paid millions of dollars to bribe military officials and pay gangsters to unleash violence in the streets of Tehran. Mossadegh was finally removed, and the Shah returned to rule as a brutal Western puppet until the Iranian Revolution in 1979. And there are other examples, like Cuba. The United States supported the Batista dictatorship as it created the repressive conditions that led to the Cuban Revolution. Argentina. U.S. documents declassified in 2003 detail conversations between then U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and the Argentinian Foreign Minister Admiral Guzzetti. In October of 1976, soon after the military seized power in Argentina, Kissinger explicitly approved of a dirty war in which 30,000 people were killed, most of them young people, and 400 children were stolen from the families of their murdered parents. And then there's Guatemala in 1954, where the U.S. decided to remove the elected liberal government of Jacobo Arbenz in Guatemala. The CIA recruited and trained a small army of mercenaries under the Guatemalan exile Castillo Armas to invade Guatemala with 30 unmarked U.S. planes providing air support. U.S. ambassador at the time, he prepared a list of Guatemalans to be executed, and Armas was installed as president. The reign of terror that followed led to 40 years in which at least 200,000 were killed, most of them indigenous people. So what you need to know is that everything I'm sharing with you here, this is public record. But it's also where our media fails. Because it is our media who wants so badly to point the finger at the Russians who hacked our election by trying to influence our democracy. That same media absolutely refuses to hold our own nation responsible, not for creating Facebook ads to sway an election, but by toppling governments and leaving millions of people around the world living in horrific conditions. Reality check here. Look back at history, and you will find that U.S. intervention is rarely about democracy, and instead is often about profit, business, natural resources, and political control. It is about what is good for the U.S., not about what's good for the people of those nations, who should have every right to choose their own government and their own systems for themselves. That's reality check. Let's talk.
Not to mention their own self-determination. The only issue I would take with Ben Swan's report is he keeps referring to a democracy as if we have a democracy and if we believe in democracies. We don't have a democracy at all, ladies and gentlemen. We have a republic. Stark difference from a democracy. All right? But nevertheless, we meddle in elections around the world. We've done so for decades with millions and billions of dollars. We've literally tampered with elections and overthrown countries and leaders, and we would claim that it's for the right reasons. but we literally have no international authority in the sovereignty of other nations. And I would point out, we don't have a democracy. We have no business belonging in these nations. Rand Paul and others, Ron Paul before him, have tried to reduce foreign expenditures called foreign aid. They just get laughed at and ignored while the military-industrial complex marches on with foreign intervention at every level. It gets worse. Donald Trump said right when he was running for president that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were literally responsible for Al-Qaeda being created and getting entrenched around the world. People mocked him and laughed. But the truth is, the United States policy has been to arm and train and fund terrorists literally for more than five decades. Yes, we arm and train and fund terrorists around the world. And we do so under the guise of we've got to be the world's cop and we've got to, you know, fund the good guy rebels against the bad guy tyrannicals. But only later we find out that the good guy rebel that we funded, trained, and armed turns out to be the bad guy tyrannical rebel. We have Barack Obama literally involving himself in the Muslim Brotherhood, a violent radical extremist terrorist organization. It's literally tied to all kinds of organizations in America, the Communist USA Party, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the Black Panthers. I could go on. Barack Obama was even head of some of these groups for national organizing. They're involved as well. And it all traces back to big secret money, black ops money, tied to the CIA and the FBI and the Pentagon and everything else, where literally Barack Obama sent money to the communists, to the tyrannicals, off the record, literally loaded up planes of cash and sent it. We highlighted the story a couple of years ago when it happened by Barack Obama. Zero accountability for these rogue agents in government. But the rogue agents overthrow governments. The rogue agents literally tamper in elections around the world. The rogue agents violate the sovereignty of other nations on a routine basis. The rogue agents train, arm, and fund terrorists through the black ops money of military operations and the military-industrial complex, and have done so for more than my whole lifetime. I've been on the planet for 50 years, and it's been longer than that. Coup d'etats, funding, training, arming, under oftentimes lies. We went into what? Iraq? Based on the idea that they had weapons of mass destruction, turned out to be blatantly false propaganda, fake news. Zero accountability as one of the longest world wars continues without a declaration of war. I stand up for peace. They call me a conspiracy nut. I tell you they've trained and armed and funded terrorists around the world, and they say prove it, and we have, and they still ignore us. Ladies and gentlemen, we better stand with God, family, and country. We better document this, and we better get noble and bold and independent in our efforts. We need your financial support. We don't want to rely on Google's advertising, YouTube's advertising, Facebook and Twitter for our listeners and our viewers and our readers, because they have the ability to choke the very life out of our efforts to tell the truth. Ben Swan has a proof that they're trying to take over and shut down good, honest media sources. It's a reality check called Internet Purge of Dissenting Voices. WorldNet Daily has highlighted it. We need your financial support, folks, and I'm not begging you to support my family. I got a day job. I am asking you to invest in the new media taking center stage, though. This is our sacred responsibility, and if we provide value to you with the reporting we do, please reciprocate and return the favor, and we'll use every penny as sacred money to grow the Widow's Might Radio Network as we tell you the truth, as we lay out ways of solution like nobody else, like nobody's business. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, we declare this nation shall endure.